Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together. Stories naturally evolve as they move from place to place and across time. I first heard a variation of today's story last year, and it had a delightful Appalachian flavor to it. So when I heard today's storyteller, Laura Schmidt, tell her British version of it, I was absolutely delighted to hear another variation. People say that variety is the spice of life, and this particular flavor is one of my personal favorites. Here's Laura with Molly Whoopie.
Hi, my name is Laura Schmidt. I have been a storyteller for over 30 years. The first time that I saw real storytelling was at the Timpanogos Storytelling Festival. I saw a wonderful teller named Jackie Torrance, and instead of being afraid, I thought, I can do that. So I sent out flyers telling schools that I was a storyteller, and they hired me. So I have been telling stories ever since. Any place people will sit still and listen to me. This story that I'm going to tell you is a British story. I love old folk and fairy tales. I think that any story that can last that long is a good story. And I'm fascinated by the number of variants they are. Every country has the same story, just told a little bit differently. So this is a British story. It's called Molly Whoopie, and it goes like this. Now once, there was a family with 17 children. Now you can imagine that with 17 children, there was never enough food, there were never enough beds, there was just never enough room. And so this particular mother and father decided to solve the problem by taking their three youngest daughters into the woods and leaving them there. Now, the two older children burst into tears, but Molly Whoopie, who was very brave and the youngest, took their hands and said, "Don't you worry, I will take care of you." And so she began to walk them through the forest. Now, they came to a house that was so big they couldn't just step onto the porch. They had to climb onto the porch. And when they knocked on the door was opened by a woman who was 8 feet tall. And she looked down at them and she said, "Here, what do you want?" And Molly Whoopie looked up and said, "My sisters and I, why, we are very hungry and we are lost. Could we have a bite to eat?" And the woman looked down and said, "Oh, I don't know. My husband's a giant. He likes to eat children for snacks. But you look like nice children, so I won't let him eat you. Come on in." And she sat them down at the table, and she placed huge bowls of soup in front of them. Now they had no sooner begun to eat than the soup began to slosh back and forth in the bowl, and the windows began to rattle, and the door began to shake, and the door was thrown open, and there stood a giant, 10 feet tall. And he began to sniff. "Thief. Fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an earthy one." And he reached under the table where Molly Whoopie and her sisters had jumped to hide, and he pulled them out, held them up by the back of their necks, and was about to pop them in his mouth, when up behind him came his wife with a frying pan, and she bonked him on the head. And she said, "Here, put those kiddies down. They're nice kiddies. You may not eat them." Well, the only thing the giant was afraid of was his wife. And so he set the children down, and he even allowed them to sleep in the same bed as his own children that night. But before they went to bed, the giant did a very strange thing as far as Molly Whoopie was concerned. He put necklaces of gold around the necks of his own children and necklaces of straw around Molly Whoopie and her sister's necks. And then he patted each of the children on the head, and away he went. Well, now Molly Whoopie thought this was very strange, and so she very carefully exchanged the necklaces. Now the giant's children wore necklaces of straw, and she and her sisters wore necklaces of gold. And no sooner had she done that than into the room crept the giant, and the children with necklaces of gold he patted on the head. But the children with necklaces of straw he picked up and began to shake them as hard as he could, while Molly Whoopi grabbed her sisters, rolled out of the bed, and began to race through the forest. Now, they ran and they ran and they ran until they came to the king's castle. And when the king saw those necklaces of gold, he said, "Oh, Molly Whoopi, do tell me your story." And when she had told him all that she had done to outsmart that giant, he said, "Oh, Molly Whoopi, aren't you a clever one? Now, this giant friend of yours has a great sword that hangs above his bed. The hilt is encrusted with diamonds and rubies. Go get it for me, please." Well, Molly Whoopi knew this was not really a request, and as much as she did not want to go back, she did what the king commanded. And so she crept into the forest, and she waited outside the giant's house until she heard the giant snore. And then she crept into the house, climbed up on the headboard, and gently lifted that sword off of the wall. But no sooner had that sword come off of the wall than the sword itself woke up and began to scream, "Help me, Master, Master, I'm being stolen away!" Well, the giant woke up, saw Molly Whoopi racing from the house, dragging his sword, and he began to chase her through the forest. Now they ran and they ran and they ran until they came to a bridge that was made from the single hair of a giant's head. Now Molly Whoopi danced across that bridge with no trouble, but the giant knew if he stepped even one step onto that bridge, he would crash 1,000 feet to the chasm below. And so he stopped in his side and said, "I'll get you yet, Molly Whoopi." And she turned and she looked at him across the chasm and said, "I don't think so, 'cause I'm smarter than you are." And she raced back to the castle and presented the king with the sword. And he looked at it and said, "Oh, Molly Whoopi, aren't you clever? Now, this giant friend of yours has a great pinky ring made of a giant pearl. Go get it for me, please." So back she went. She waited outside until she heard the giant and then into the house she crept, and she worked that ring off of the giant's pinky, and she had it off when the ring itself woke up and said, "Help, Master, Master, I'm being stolen away!" Well, the giant woke up, began to chase Molly Whoopi through the forest until they came to that bridge. Molly danced across, and that giant stopped and said, "I'll get you yet, Molly Whoopi." And Molly Whoopi said, "I don't think so, 'cause I'm smarter than you are." And she went back to the castle and presented the king with the ring. And he said, "Oh, Molly Whoopi, you are so clever. Now, that giant friend of yours has a great big box of gold he keeps under his bed. Go get it for me, please." She went back. She waited. She crept inside. And no sooner had she worked that box out from under the bed than the box itself woke up and yelled, "Master, Master, I'm being stolen away!" Well, this time, Molly Whoopi was not nearly fast enough, and the giant grabbed her and held him up close to his big old ugly face and said, "I got you now, Molly Whoopi. Now, if someone had done to you what you have done to me, how would you punish them?" Well, Molly Whoopi knew this was the most important question she would ever answer in her life, and she thought carefully and said, "If someone had done to me what I've done to you, I would find a huge burlap sack and I'd drop them inside. And in that sack with them, I'd put a needle and a thread and a pair of scissors and a cat and a dog. And then I'd tie it up tight and hang it on a hook in the kitchen. And then I'd go find the biggest stick I could find. That's how I would punish them." And the giant laughed an ugly laugh and said, "Oh, Molly Whoopi, That's just what I'm gonna do to you. And he dropped her into a huge burlap sack with a cat and a dog and a needle and a thread and a pair of scissors and tied it up tight, hung it on a hook in the kitchen, and off he went. O'Malley Whoopi stayed as quietly as she could in that sack until she heard the giant's wife come into the kitchen. And then Molly Whoopi said as loudly as she could, "It's so beautiful inside this sack. I wish everyone could see it." And the giant's wife sidled over and said, "Eh, what's that you say?" And Molly Whoopi repeated, "It's so beautiful inside this sack. I wish everyone could see how beautiful it is." And the giant's wife said, "Well, I want to see." And Molly Whoopi said, "All righty then." And she cut a huge hole in the side of that sack with the scissors the giant had given her, leapt out and helped the giant's wife to climb back in, and then sewed that hole tight with the needle and thread the giant had left her. Well, Molly Whoopi filled her pockets with the giant's gold, and then she hid behind the stove. And the giant came crashing into the house, dragging the stick. And he pulled that bag off of the hook and began to drag it out of the house. And inside the bag, his wife was yelling, "Here, stop that now, you big lug! Stop it now!" But the cat and the dog in the sack with the giant's wife were making so much noise, barking and hissing and growling, that the giant could not hear his wife's own voice. And now Molly Whoopi jumped out from behind the stove and said, "Ta-ta, giant!" And off she ran. Well, the giant dropped the sack and began to race after Molly Whoopi. And this time when they came to the bridge and Molly Whoopi danced across, the giant was so upset he went crashing after her, got halfway across, looked down and said, "Uh-oh." And that bridge snapped in half and the giant went tumbling down a 1,000 feet to the bottom of that chasm. And Molly Whoopi? Why, she took the gold to the king, and the king said, "Oh, Molly Whoopi, aren't you a clever one?" And he gave Molly Whoopi and her sisters a house adjoining the palace. And from that day on, Molly Whoopi was a trusted advisor to that king. And she and her sisters, why, they lived happily ever
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode is written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Laura Schmidt, for sharing her story. Laura is a professional storyteller and teaches kids to be storytellers. You can find more information on her page for nowplayingutah.com or reach out to her directly via email at storyweave@earthlink.net. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.